Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
Good morning. Yeah, there you go. Ja, es freut mich, hier zu sein, um es mitzuteilen, alles, was Gott jetzt in Deutschland macht. So it's great to be here and to share with you about everything that God is doing in Germany. And I really mean that because there's some things that we see God doing right now that we have been praying for decades to happen. And now God is showing up and he's moving in certain areas, and it's very exciting to be a part of. Before I get into kind of what God's been doing, I do want to introduce my family with you. Shonda, if you would stand up. This is my wife, Shonda. We are about to celebrate 15 years together. We have two wonderful children. We have Audrey that you see up here. She is 8 years old. And then about 6 months ago, we welcomed Sebastian into our lives. And it was one of those moments where you're sitting in the hospital and you've got an 8-year-old and you're sitting there holding this 2-day-old baby and you go, what were we thinking? I guess we decided that sleep isn't fun. But he's been doing great. And I'll tell you this, praise God, the boy sleeps from 9 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. So we are very blessed. The family is doing well. And we are actually, today we are ending a 30-day road trip. So my family doesn't always get to come with me, but they get to be here today. And I'm excited to have them here. I absolutely love what we do. People ask us all the time, how long do you want to be in Germany? Our typical response is for life. We love what God has called us to do. We love what he is doing. We love the hardships, the pains, the goods, the bads, everything about it. We know 100% that that's where he's planted us. And our ministry consists of two parts. The first part is this. We're church planters. We believe that the local church is the hope of the world, so we want to go around and see churches get planted around Germany. And the second part is youth discipleship, and we see those two things going hand in hand. Now, I want to ask you this. How many of you would say, I believe in miracles? Absolutely. How many of you would say you've had a miracle of some sort happen in your life? I want to share with you our miracle story. In 2010, we were in Berlin, Germany, and we were working on staff at a church that we helped plant there, and everything was going great. And then I got into a staff meeting one day in October, and as I'm sitting there listening to the pastor speak, God spoke to me and said, I'm about to move you. Well, I got really excited. You know, hey, man, God's speaking. He's about to do something. So I go home, and I go into the kitchen, and my wife is there, and she's preparing dinner. I said, baby, guess what? God spoke to me today, and he's going to be moving us. And then she had that natural question, where are we going? To which I did not have an answer. But we knew that for the past 15 years of our lives, God had spoken to us. And we were going to be church planting at some point down in southern Germany. We were going to be working at some point full-time with youth discipleship. But here's the thing. We didn't have any way of doing that. We didn't have the money. We didn't have a building. We didn't have the connections. Well, you know, all of these things that you run a list for God and go, I have to have all this stuff. None of it was there. So 2011 rolls around. And we took the first 21 days of January and committed it to prayer and fasting and just said simply, God, if this is what you want us to do still, then we need you to move. Will you please show us one way or the other? Day 23 rolls around, and we get a phone call from our national youth director. If you'll put up the next slide, please. And he says, hey, I want to talk to you guys. God's been burning something in my heart recently, and I would love to have you guys come down to where I am in the city of Ulm. You'll see it up there, the green box with the white letters. Why don't you come down to Ulm, and I want to talk to you about what God is speaking to me. So we got on a train and we go down to his building and we get there and we're sitting outside of our hotel and he says, listen, I could drag this out, but I don't want to. Let me just go ahead and put this all out on the table. God's been speaking to me. 5 years ago, we bought a building in the middle of Stuttgart, Germany. All right. We bought this building for about $2.5 million. And our goal was, we want to see a church planted out of this building, and we want to see a discipleship school planted out of this building. But we didn't have anybody that we knew that was really called to do that. So my dad comes in one day and he says, I had this dream that there's an American couple that's going to come to Germany that has it on their heart to church plant in southern Germany and to run a discipleship school. And whenever we meet them, we need to bring them on staff with us and give them this building that we have and let them go and see what God does. So this is what I want to propose to you. If you will move from Berlin to Stuttgart, I want to give you this building. If you'll put up the slide, please. I want to give you this building. I want you to plant a church there. I want you to use the two floors that are above there to house students. I want you to start a discipleship school. I want to let you know I'm the national youth director, so any kind of doors you need open for youth are open. My dad's on the board of the Assemblies of God Germany, so any church you need to get into, you can get into. And my brother runs the Assemblies of God Bible School in Germany, so any of the theological training the students need, they can get there. Do you think God could be speaking to you? Well, of course, my wife goes, yes. And he says, well, don't you want to pray about this first? So we don't need to pray about this. We've been praying, and this is what God has opened for us. So in 2012, we were able to plant Mosaic Church in the middle of Stuttgart, and God has been moving in incredible ways. We started off with 5 people our first Sunday, and we got really excited, and the next Sunday we came back, and there were only 3, and we went, hey, we're going the wrong way. So we got out into the community, and we started serving, doing anything that we could. We would go over right across the street from us is a casino. So we would go in and go, hi, we're from the church next door. Is there anything that we can do to serve you guys? Can we wash glasses? Can we clean up after you guys? And, you know, you get the looks of, what? And we would go down to the corner and paint the pizza store and pull weeds and anything that we could to get into the community, to make ourselves seen, to start being able to be a witness to the people that we were around. And now we're starting to see God move in these people's lives. And we've got the local baker that comes to the church, and we've got local businessmen that are coming over now. And now, instead of 5 people on Sunday, as you can see, we have about 75 that are showing up. And when we do outreach nights, we're having to rent different buildings because we can't fit the 120 to 130 people that are showing up. And God is moving in an area that was once very dead. We're starting to see this light shine, and it's exciting to be a part. Now, if you'll put up the next slide, that's what we do in church planting. But the second part of what we work in is youth discipleship. Now, the whole thought around this was, we wanted to create a school that lasts for 11 months that focuses on discipleship so we can strengthen the churches in Germany. See, most churches in Germany are 20 to 30 people. A lot of our pastors are bivocational and trivocational, and so they just don't have the time to invest in the people that are in their church. And so we went to a group of pastors and said, okay, what's the biggest need? They said, well, our biggest need is to be able to send the people with the most time on their hands, young people, college-aged, somewhere so that they can get trained, and then don't keep them there. Send them back to us so that they can start working in the church and serving. And so we started this discipleship school called the Jesus Saves College. And right now we have about 98% of everybody that's come through the school is back in their church, and they're serving full-time. And we're starting to see the churches encouraged and strengthened, and ministries that were not happening are starting to happen, which gives the gospel a further reach into the communities, and God is moving. Up here you can see a couple of our students. If you'll look up at the top row over here to the left, this is Tanya. Tanya came to us about 2.5 years ago. When she applied, she kept one little secret from us, and that was she had been living with her boyfriend for about 2 years. So she comes into the school, and we were praying and fasting and getting them, you know, into the Word and helping them learn. And she comes to us one morning, and her face is just glowing. She says, "I met God this morning." I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, I'm praying, and God just really convicted me. And I'm sorry, I don't know if you knew this, but I've been living with my boyfriend, and we've had pretty much a very sinful relationship. And God convicted me and said, it ends today. it ends today. So I called him before our meeting, and I broke up with him, and I told him, my life is going in a different direction, and I want God more than anything else. And I just want to let you know, God did that in my life today. Well, today she's back at her Lutheran church. She's spirit-filled, and she runs all of the girls' discipleship for this church down in southern Germany. And then if you look here in the second row, you'll see Tosilo. He's a young African guy with the box around him. Tosilo came to us and he said, listen, I want the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of me. I want to see miracles. I want to see the miraculous happen. Well, today, Tosilo works at a gym. And he's trying to become a strength and conditioning coach for a soccer club in Germany. And so his job is to work out all day long, and he is huge. And so people come to him and say, hey, train me. And he told me, you know, I figure I've got these guys around me, and they're lifting really heavy weights, so they can't get mad at me. So I tell him about Jesus. And he's seeing people saved at the gym and people coming to him, and he's prayed for people, and they've gotten healed, and God is moving right now. And that's what we want in Germany. We want to see churches planted, and we want to see young people discipled so those churches can be strengthened and go out and do the work that God has for them. Now, if you'll put up the next slide, please. That's what we've been doing up until this point. Now, when we get back, and we're hoping to leave in January, now we don't just have one church that we get to work with. We have four churches that God has opened up for us to work with. So we're going to be planted here out of Ulm. We're still going to be working at our church in Stuttgart. But now we've been able to see another two churches planted in Augsburg and one in the city of Munich. Guys, this is what we need. We need light. We need churches that are there, that are strong, that are full of the Holy Spirit. Now more than ever. Look, we've all seen what's been going on in the news and what's been happening and the refugee situation in Germany. Let me tell you, now more than ever, we need strong churches that are there, that are ready to reach out to their communities and make a difference. Now, I would ask you this. If you'll put up the last slide for me. We have some prayer cards out right back here in the back. We need your prayers. Everything that we're doing in Germany right now, it started in prayer. It's been going forward in prayer, and we believe it's going to continue through prayer, through the power of prayer. And I'll go ahead and give you a little warning. The little girl that you see on this, she sees it as her personal ministry to go and make sure every single person in a service gets one of these cards, okay? So if you don't want one, run when you see her, because she's going to track you down, and she's going to have a fistful of these, and she wants to get one in everybody's hand because she knows prayer changes things. Amen? Amen. Now, this morning, there's something that's been on my heart that I wanted to share with you guys. A little bit of a challenge, but I hope an encouragement. See, we believe that God can do anything, right? We believe in the power of God. We believe that the power of God is in us, right? We believe that wherever we step, then that God is with us. Amen? Well, for years we've been told that Europe is a hard place to reach and that ministry just doesn't go forward there and expect roadblocks and expect people not to listen. It's very secularized, which basically means God is an option to people. He is not an obligation. So you fill your life with all of these experiences, and one experience may be better than the other, or you may have had an experience at church, but that experience does not rule your life. That God experience that doesn't mean any more or any less than anything else that you've done. And so we see a rapid decline of Christianity and of any type of religion in Europe right now. And really, since we've been back here, you kind of start seeing the same thing in our society. And you start seeing this turnaround from people of them going, you know, I used to at least listen, but now I don't want any part of it. So what do we do in that? How are we supposed to work with that? Well, I hope we all believe still in the good news. I mean, I believe that when we become followers of Christ, that we all have the same calling. And that is to go into our world, right? To take the gospel with us. To let people see the light inside of us. So that they're not the same. That they can meet the same Jesus that we've met. And their lives can be changed in the same way. And they can experience fullness of life. So this is what I want to talk to you about this morning, is that God is here. God is with us, and anything can happen. God is with us, and anything can happen. Now, there's two events that happened right after I got saved that kind of changed the way I look at faith. I grew up in church. My dad is a pastor. When I was growing up, I did not want anything to do with the church. I ran about as hard as I possibly could away from that. People would say, hey, do you want to follow your dad in ministry? And I'd almost begin laughing. It wasn't anything that what I wanted to do. I was very much on the outside. I was not liked. I had this big stuttering problem. I got made fun of a lot. And so I didn't want to be involved in church. And then one day in 1996, I was about to graduate high school, and I was sitting in a church service because, you know, when your parents are pastors, you kind of have to go. And I'm sitting there, and the youth minister is speaking, and he gives the altar call. And for some reason, I start crying, and I start walking down to the front, and I gave my life to God, and he changed me. And I wasn't the same anymore. But there was this one problem. I was so scared to talk to people and to tell them about the change that happened inside of me. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to a discipleship school. So I went to this discipleship school in Birmingham, Alabama, which is where I met my wife. And what they would do is every Saturday, they would drive us to the middle of Birmingham, Alabama, and they would kick us out of a 15-passenger van. And they would say, okay, from 9 o'clock at night until midnight, go out and start sharing the gospel with all the people out here, the drunks and the homeless and everybody that's out on the streets. You go and talk to them. This is like, I had been, say, 4 months when they did this. So I stayed at the back and I kind of, you know, found a way to waste about an hour of time. And finally, one of the leaders came to me and said, I've been watching you. And you haven't done a thing since you've been out here. There's a guy over here on a park bench. Go over and talk to him right now. And I'm not moving until you go there. I am watching you. So very timidly, I start making my way over. And I'll be real honest with you. In my mind, I was praying, God, please let this guy get up. God, please don't let him be there by the time I get to this bench. So I get over there to where he is, and he's still sitting there. I thought, what am I going to say? So I sat down and, hi, my name's Austin. He goes, and? I said, well, I just wanted to say hi and introduce myself. What's your name? And he says, my name's Randy. So, well, Randy, what do you do? And we start talking about life and how we grew up and what he does down in Birmingham. And then you get to that awkward moment where now you got to bring God into the conversation. I just simply said, hey, we're out here as a team trying to tell people about the love of Jesus. Has anybody ever told you about God? And he said, yeah, my mom has tried to for years, but I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to listen to it. She writes me letters, and as soon as I get a letter in the mail, I've stopped opening it. I just throw it in the garbage because every letter she writes, she tells me that she's praying for me and that God loves me and he has a plan for me, and I don't want to hear any of that. So we sat there in silence for about a minute. And he says, where did you say you're from? I said, well, I'm with the church in Alabaster, Alabama. He goes, oh, that's where my mom lives. So, wow, that's cool. He says, what church do you go to? It's a Kingwood Assembly of God. That's the church my mom goes to. We continue on in the conversation and find out that his mom and my mom were in the same Sunday school class and that she has recently been sharing with the group to please be praying that somebody would send someone, that God would send someone to her son that would tell him personally about their life change with Jesus. And I start telling him the story and what I've heard, and tears begin to come down his eyes. He says, wow, I don't know what to do. I said, well, would you like to make a change in your life? He goes, yeah, I would. And I got to pray with Randy sitting there at Southside in Birmingham, Alabama, a guy that woke up that morning and thought, there is no God, and I don't want any part of a God that there may be. And yet God did a miracle in his life. And it wasn't through me. You remember, I was sitting there praying, God, please let this guy get up and leave. Now, what if he had gotten up and left? That's one life that's not in God today. That's a life that's still headed towards destruction. But it didn't catch God off guard. God knew that that could happen. He was waiting for somebody to go and to speak. A couple years later, we were in Paducah, Kentucky. There's a very large high school there called Paducah Tillman. And our team was there, and we used to talk about, you know, not doing drugs and staying away from alcohol and things like that, because you can't talk about Jesus openly in public schools. And so we get to the school that morning, and we're talking with the principal. And he pulls us into the office, and he says, "Now listen, you know the rules. Nothing about God, nothing about Jesus, nothing about salvation. You can't talk about any of it. The first time you mention anything about religion, I'm shutting it down. I will literally pull the cord out of the wall, and you are out of here. Do you understand me?" "Yes, sir, we understand." He says, "Now listen, we've got some guys that are here that caused a race riot about 2 years ago. They haven't been allowed in this school since, but they're here this morning, and I cannot promise you that things will not get violent because they're here. Do you understand?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Okay, now let's pray." And this principal drops to his knees and starts crying out to God. "God, would you please move in my school this morning? Will you please change people's lives?" So we get out in front of the school, and there were about 2,000 people that were there that morning. And we start doing our stuff, the whatever dramas or speaking, and everybody erupts in laughter. And one of our team members comes back and says, "We all need to start praying because there are real lives that are here. There are real souls that are hanging in the balance." So that's what we did. We all went back into a corner. There was one person out front speaking, and we started praying. And you started to hear the laughter die down. And it got real serious in that room. 50 minutes later, when we ended, students by the hundreds were coming onto the basketball court and asking us, "There's something different about you guys. I feel something different. What is it?" And he told us, "If they come to you, you can tell them whatever you want." So we started telling them about Jesus, and over 200 people got saved on this basketball court where we're told you can't say anything about Jesus. So we pack everything up, and we're in the van, and we're about to leave. And the school guidance counselor comes up and says, "Hey, you can't leave yet. I've got people crammed in my office. They're out the door, around the hall, and almost out the door to outside. You can't come in here and cause a problem and then leave. I need your help." So we said, "Well, what's the rules?" And she said, "At this point, there are no rules. Tell them whatever you want." Guys, we woke up that morning going, "I don't know if God's going to do anything here or not." But God saw the situation, and he knew that if we would pray, if we would believe in him, if we would go out in faith, if we would open our mouths, that he could change over 250 lives in a very secularized high school, because God is with us. Amen. And if he's with us, then anything is possible. Now, I don't want to scare you, but in 11 weeks, Christmas is here. Wow. Look, I love Christmas more than any little kid you know. So I've been counting it down. And what do we know about Christmas? What do we celebrate? We celebrate this word Emmanuel, right? Right? We read in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "A virgin is going to give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Now, here's the question. What if we really walked through this life every single day into every single situation with the belief that God is still with us, that he's there? And if he's there, then his power is there. And if his power is there, then anything could happen. I hope that would raise our faith level. I think God wants to use our normal lives and do the supernatural through it. One of our team members in Germany, his name is Jordan. And when Jordan came to us, we started talking about this idea of the power of God always being with us and to expect the unexpected. That's how we should live. And so they're out, and he took a group of the students out ice skating. And as they're sitting there waiting for the bus, he sees this guy standing all alone at the ticket machine, and he can't get the ticket machine to work. So Jordan goes up to him, and he starts speaking to him. "Hi, can I give you some help?" And the guy says, "Well, I don't speak German. Do you speak English?" "Yes, I do." So he starts talking to him, and the guy is from Estonia. And he starts telling Jordan that he is on this trip to figure out what God wants to do in his life. He left Estonia 3 weeks before that and had prayed, Lord, if you are real, I want you to show me. I want you to prove it to me. So Jordan says, hey, do you have a place to stay? He says, no. He said, well, hey, I want you to come over to the building with us. It'll be fine. You can stay with us. And then he calls me. Hey, Austin, I met a guy on the street today, and I told him that he could stay in our building. Is that all right with you? It's one of those moments where you go, would you please ask first? So we let him come in, and Tony stayed with us for about 3 days, and he was there in the prayer meetings and there in the teaching and there at our chapel services, and he did every single thing with us. And the last night he was there, he comes in to the bedroom, and he tells Jordan, I don't know how to describe it, but there's this funny feeling like inside of me, and I know I need to make a change. All the stuff that you guys have been talking about with God, will you pray that will stay inside of me? And Jordan gets to pray with this guy from Estonia who had come to our city on a search for God and just happened to meet somebody who knew God. Why? Because Jordan made the decision that God was with him and anything could happen. All he had to do was open his mouth. Now, all throughout Scripture, we see stories of Jesus showing up and things start happening. Things start changing. Crazy things start to happen. And people can't really explain it. And one of my favorites is in the book of Mark. If you want to turn there, you can. We're going to be in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 31 through 37. Says this, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and he went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. And there some people brought to him a man that was deaf and he could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. But Jesus took the man to the side, away from the crowd. And he put his fingers in the man's ear and he touched the man's tongue with his spit. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said, be opened. And at this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. But Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this. But the more he kept telling people, the more they kept talking about what had just happened. And people were overwhelmed with amazement, and they kept saying, and I love this, this man does everything well. This man does everything well. Now, what an incredible day, right? You have this guy that's in silence. He wakes up in silence. He can't hear. And he goes home that day and he can hear. Everything has been changed for this guy's life in one moment of being with Jesus. I pray that things like this happen in our lives. I think God wants to work through us in ways just like this. I think most often the barrier is ourselves. I don't think it's that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to work. I think sometimes we just get scared. I think one of the base beliefs we have to have is that wherever I go, God is with me. And if he's there, anything can happen. Now, when we look at this story, there's a few things that I see that happens in the presence of God. And the first thing is this. Love happens. When you get somebody in the presence of God, they experience the love of God. Isn't that what we teach people? Isn't that what we teach from the youngest of ages, that God is love? And I think sometimes we have this thought in our mind that if I bring somebody to church or if I tell them about Jesus, they're going to feel like I hate them. But in the presence of God, there's love. There's love. And that's what we see that happens here. Look at what happens. This guy, these friends bring this guy to Jesus, and they expect Jesus to do what Jesus does. They bring this guy over, and they say, hey, Jesus, put your hands on him. And Jesus goes, no, it's not going to work like that today. I'm going to bring this guy off to the side, away from the crowd, and I'm going to minister to his direct need. Wow, is that not a sign of love from Jesus? I mean, it'd be kind of like if you went to the doctor and you're waiting to be seen and the nurse comes out and starts announcing to everybody what you have. You would go, well, that's not very nice. Please don't do that. Look, when we first got into missions, it was 1999 and we were headed to Brussels, Belgium. And to get a visa to live in Belgium, you have to get certain tests and blood work done in America first. And one of those tests is you have to get an AIDS test. So I went into a local doctor, and they drew blood, and they did the HIV test, the AIDS test, and they said, come back in 2 weeks to get your result. So I go back to the doctor's office, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and it is packed full of people on this day. And I'm waiting for them to call me back, you know, and you don't want to be there in the first place because you're going, I'm going to leave here sicker than when I came in. So the door opens up, and the nurse walks out, and she goes, Mr. Brown. And I start walking back, and I don't even get halfway to her. She goes, well, I see you're here for your AIDS test results. And everybody's looking at you, and you're going, hi, everyone. This is uncomfortable. We would not want that to happen, would we? No. So they bring this guy to Jesus, and they go, hey, Jesus, just do something out here in front of everybody. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to get really personal with him. I'm going to bring him over to the side. I'm going to show him the love of the Father, and then I'm going to minister to him. In the presence of God, people will feel his love. If you'll put up the next slide for me. When we first went to Germany, we had this thought, and most people do when you go to another country, I'm going to that country to minister to this group of people. I'm going to Germany and I'm going to work with Germans. I'm going to go to France and I'm going to work with the French. And then we started to see that it doesn't always work like that. So about a year ago, we started seeing all of these images and videos and of this mass migration of people from Syria into Germany. You've seen this, yeah? Well, then there's these questions that come up of what are we going to do and how are we going to relate and what are the churches going to do and how are we going to reach these people, because they're here and they deserve to experience the same love of God. So the civil war breaks out in Syria, and this is where people were living in refugee camps in conditions just like this. And they went, enough, we're done with this. We're going to make it over to Europe because that's the promised land. Man, we've heard that Germany has it all. So they start heading that way because they're looking for a better life. If you put up the next slide, they're worried, they're nervous. They get to train stations, and you see people gathering outside with signs like this that say, Flüchtlinge, herzlich willkommen, which means refugees, you are warmly welcomed here. And people started showing up at the train stations with bottles of water and teddy bears and blankets and inviting people straight off the trains into their homes to overnight with them and to cook them meals. And all of this stuff was going on, and that starts tearing down walls. Because I can tell you this, just as we have cultural Christians, there are cultural Muslims. And God started moving. And God started working. And I can tell you this, right now in the world, we're seeing more Muslims come to Christ than in any other time in history combined. Why? Because there's a group of people that are saying, I don't care how you got here. I don't care how many of them, of you there are. I don't care what your background is. You deserve to hear about the love of God. And it's changing people's lives. If you'll put up the next slide, please. This is a Yazidi family that has made it to Germany. If you remember, about 8 months ago, there was a story about ISIS going into northern Iraq, and the Yazidi people were there, and they went up onto a hill to escape ISIS, and it was so bad, there were reports that they were taking their children and throwing them off of the hill to their death, because that was viewed as more merciful for them than to be captured by ISIS. This is one of those families that made it, and they got out. And they went to Bulgaria. And in Bulgaria, there was a convoy of hope tent set up. And they went there to get food and basic necessities. And they were given a Bible in their own language. And they started reading about God. And God started moving in their lives. And now they're in Germany. And their goal is, as soon as the war is over, to go back to Syria, to go back into Iraq to their families and share with them this new hope that they found. Why? Because people decided, I don't care what you look like, and I don't care about the background that you come here with. I don't care about the baggage. You need to hear about the love of God. And in the love of God, people started to change. The second thing is this. In the presence of God, we do see that change happens. but it may not always look like what we expect it to look like. Now, I'm sure Pastor Steve is a great guy, but I got to tell you, if I showed up this morning and he went, "Brother, it's great to have you here," and he stuck his fingers in my ear and spit on my tongue, I think I would have packed everything up and we would have been gone. Jesus works. God works. We've all heard it in mysterious ways. And we need to know that when we make the decision to go out and to tell people about him and his love, it may look a little different than what we thought. And the third thing is this, and really started this entire process. In the presence of God, when we bring people to Jesus, faith happens. Faith gets stirred inside of folks. In fact, I would say this, it was faith that really kicked this whole process off. I mean, think about it. You would never be reading this story. We would not be talking about it today if there had not been a group of friends that looked at this guy that was in need and said, "You know what? Today you're going to Jesus, and we're going to bring you there." I would say this. How many people do we have in our lives that are needing hope? They're needing to experience the love of the Father. They're needing to experience grace. They're needing everything that God has for them. They're just waiting for someone to take them to Jesus. Guys, we need to be praying. We need to be going. We need to be speaking. We need to be walking with the belief that God is with us so anything could happen. Because this is the thing. That can change the world. What would your schools look like if you went in on Monday morning with this belief that I'm not just here taking up space, but I'm here because God has me here for a specific purpose? And that if I speak out, maybe, just maybe, somebody's life would change. I have a good friend of mine named John Keith. He was a wrestler in high school, drug addict, all of this stuff. He said, people were afraid to come up to me and talk to me. He said, "Man, I grew up in the middle of the Bible Belt of America with a church on every single corner and never heard the first thing about God until I was 17 years old. And a freshman girl in my high school walked up to me and said, 'I know that you are probably going to hate this, but God's been laying it on my heart to speak to you. And I just wanted to give you a Bible and let you know that Jesus loves you.'" He said, "I went back to my house, and I just threw it over in the corner. And in the coming weeks, I started reading it. And I started reading about a God that loved me. And one night in my room, for some reason, I gave my life to God. And I didn't know really what was happening on the inside. I prayed this prayer of, 'God, if you're real, please do something in me.' And I was filled with the Holy Spirit the next day. He started a Bible school club at the school. Over 300 people started coming to a friend's house. They were baptizing people out in the swimming pool behind the home. And God starts this revival in a school." Why? Because this little freshman girl went, "You know what? There's this scary wrestler guy, but he needs to hear the love of God." And I'll end with this. Our daughter thinks a lot. I mean, it's crazy. You spend any amount of time with her, and she's going to ask you some questions that you go, "I don't know how to answer this." There's been more than one time where I went, "There's not enough degrees in the world to answer this question that this girl is asking me." Well, one day we get into the car. She says, "Dad, I was thinking, do you know why God makes it rain?" Okay, well, I mean, kind of. Why do you think God makes it rain? She says this, "Because God doesn't create anything to die. So he sends the rain so it can live." Then she says this, "Did you know that we're all sheep? Just some of us have not heard the shepherd's voice yet." She says, "Dad, that's why we have to get back to Germany. Because when people hear us tell them about God, they're hearing the shepherd's voice." Guys, God didn't make anybody that's around you in your life. They're not a mistake. He didn't create them to die. He created them to live. When you speak of God, when they see your life, it's rain. You have to give God the opportunity to move. And I promise you, he will. And people's lives can be changed. Revelation 7, verse 9. Why do I talk about this? Why do we go to Germany? Why do I think it's so important that you guys are doing serve days like you do? Because of this. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we see this great throne of God. John says there's people from every tribe and nation and tongue and culture and background and skin color, and they're all there, and they're worshiping God. Here's something that people don't know about Germany. Less than 2% of the population is born-again Christian. And when I think of that, I don't think that 2% is enough to be around that throne room worshiping God. When you think of your schools, when you think of your workplaces, when you think of the places that you're going to go throughout this week, keep that in mind. Is there someone here that needs to hear? Do they deserve to be around that throne worshiping God? I would say yes. I would say they do. And I would say that God can work a miracle. And I would say that God wants to use you to work that miracle. And I would say this, if you will open up your mouth and if you will trust him, he will do the miraculous through you because God is here and anything can happen. Let's end in prayer. I would ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to simply pray a prayer over you as we end today. And I would ask this. If you are here and you say, I need my level of faith stirred. I know there's a job for me to do in taking the gospel out there, but I've not been doing my job. I need God to empower me. I need my faith to rise. If that's you and you want to be included in this prayer, I would just ask that you raise your hand. You can put it right back down. Amen. 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 You're simply saying, I want to be used of God. Amen. Let's pray. I would ask this. Where you are, just stretch your hands towards heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your saving power. I thank you so much, God, that my life is not the same because you live inside of me. God, I thank you that you have a plan and you have a purpose for every single person on this earth. I thank you for your calling. I thank you for your empowerment. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us and wants to live inside of us and empower us. Lord, for every person in here that raised their hand saying, I need my faith stirred, I pray, God, that you would do it right now in this minute. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give a fresh awakening, that there would be a fresh anointing, that there would be a fresh outpouring of you in their lives. And that God, when they get around family members or coworkers or schoolmates or whoever it is, God, that their hearts would break, that they wouldn't just be business as usual, that they wouldn't just walk through the world as normal, God, but they would see as you see, and they would love as you love, knowing that you are there with them, and you will give them the words to speak, and you will back up those words with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will change lives. God, I thank you. Thank you for using us. Thank you, God, that your plan of salvation includes us. Lord, I pray, God, that we would hear many, many reports very quickly of how lives are being changed all around Valley Center, all around Wichita, all around Park City, God, this whole area. God, let people here experience your love in amazing ways. We thank you, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.